From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of January 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of Adium Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along, too, with all the agricultural news for the day. And then I'll tell you about that great big land auction happening in Springfield, Illinois, at the Crown Plaza. The first time those parcels, some 43 of them, representing about 4,100 acres, sold. The total cash value was more than $20 million, but they're not done, and they won't be for a long shot today. We'll get an update this afternoon directly from the Crown Plaza and the Almond Auction Company in Springfield. A great big land auction. We'll tell you about that more later in the program. Drew Lerner will be here at the end of this program. He's from Kansas City and will update us on the agricultural weather forecast for this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby March wheat, a 571 3/4 settlement price, up 21 3/4. May contract at 584.5, up 21 3/4. And July wheat futures at $5.95 3/4, up 21 3/4. Kansas City, March, $6.5, up 20 3/4 cents for the day. March corn futures, 390 1/4, 6 3/4 higher. May at 401, up 6 1/4. And July corn, $4.11 1/4, 5 3/4, the settlement price higher. September contract, 521 3/4, up 5.5 cents. And December futures from the corn pit in Chicago, $4.35 3/4, up 5 3/4. March soybean futures, $10.20 1/2, up 28 1/2. The May at $10.29 1/4, up 28 1/4. July futures, $10.38 1/2, 27 1/2 higher, and the August at $10.31, up 25 1/2 cents. November soybeans, $9.74, 20 1/2 cents higher. Soybean meal now. March contract, $3.20 1/2, up $11.40. March bean oil at $33.95, up 14. Live cattle, February contract, $82.35, down 27 1/2 cents. January feeders at $92.87 1/2, 12 1/2 cents lower. And the lean hog futures, February contract from the CME Group in Chicago at $59.32 1/2, finished the day 40 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby March crude oil futures at $43.55 a barrel, up $2.71. The April at $45.55, up $1.30. Remember, the March contract is working through some problems that it's had earlier in the week. February contract in the ethanol at $1.58 1/2, down 2 8/10 cents. Natural gas at $4.78 2/10 is 14 cents higher for the day. And the RBOB gasoline is up 3 cents at $1.17 4/10 cents. Heating oil futures, February contract at $138 7/10, up 1 1/10 cents. The February propane, 2 2/10 cents higher at $71.88. And the March contract at $71.3, up 2 2/10 cents. Gold futures are now at $849.60, $5 lower for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands at 81.26. That's just about 176 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 86.09 is down 0.25 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own Mike Sole, says tonight should be generally clear. Some areas of patchy fog. Lows will range from 15 in northern Illinois to 28 in the far south. Thursday, partly to mostly sunny skies, a bit warmer. Highs will range from 30 in northern Indiana to 55 in the far southern part of Illinois. And then things will change. A brief and minimal warming trend will be reversed quickly this weekend. Daytime highs will fall back into the single digits in northern Illinois to around freezing in the south both Saturday and Sunday. And approaching system will bring the potential for accumulating snow to northern and central sections of Illinois and Indiana on Monday and Tuesday of next week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois is with us today. Hi, Paul.
Hi,
Todd.
Todd. Long day in the trenches today, Todd. How are you?
Oh, I was very good. It was a long day in the trenches. I have been on the road quite a bit today. I was in Springfield this morning for that land auction. I don't know how many folks know about this one, but Kilton Farms, and we'll get an update later on the program about what's really happening there yet today. Kilton Farms, which is located near Litchfield in a couple of counties there, with 43 tracts, I think all in a 7-square-mile area. They had listed about 3,914 acres and surveyed it, Paul, and found a few more, something closer to 4,100 acres. And they had an interesting way of selling it. They sold it all in separate tracts this morning. Didn't take very long. Started at 10 o'clock. I think by noon all 43 tracts were sold. It was 11:44, in fact, when they finished up, with an average of $5,058 an acre for all of the tracts, but of course they varied from, I don't know, about a 4,200 to 6,200 on the farm ground. There was one parcel that could have been developed, and it went for quite a bit more, but that's some $20 million. And then they're putting it all back up. So you bid around the first time around, and that's sort of, you pause the auction. Paul, have you been to one of these?
Yes.
Yeah, you pause the auction, and then she all takes back off again. And I'm telling you, they finished that auction, and within 2 minutes, things had started back up, and they were thinking that it would run, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock tonight before they got it all parceled out and bid. So it appears that farmland, and since this is in Litchfield area, maybe you can talk, if you know that area very well, about how good or bad that ground might be, but it's not certainly the best ground in Illinois, so it appears farmland's selling pretty darn well in the state still.
At every Commodity Outlook meeting, people know how dear farmland is to my heart, and they come up and ask certain questions. But, you know, that's a tip of the hat to the basically the outlook of Illinois agriculture, and, you know, it'll be a good barometer. I'm kind of old-fashioned. When you have an auction, sell each parcel to the highest bidder and go to the second parcel. But every auctioneer and auctioneering service has a different approach to the game. And it creates a lot of friendly co-bidding if you have to go that way.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how she all rolls out this afternoon. I mean, sell her once and sell her again. And, well, I kind of like that idea. Well, I like the idea just because it's fun to watch, not for anything else.
Well, we were, of course, you talk about an auction. We were at the Chicago Board of Trade this weekend at our company meeting, and, of course, we had the privilege to see one of the chairman and chief executive officer of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Terrence Duffy, there. And there's a big auction that takes place around the world, and he basically says they're trying to do everything they can to make sure that Chicago still is the premier futures industry in the world, and they're doing everything they can to make it happen.
Hey, I heard you switch gears on me up there, too, that you went from the analyst to the questioner, and that when they had open mic, you stood up and asked Mr. Duffy a question. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, I had the privilege to meet the former Speaker of the House,
Denny Hastert,
and he was very charming, and Dan Bassey, basically the one that I'd like to share. Dan basically said to the group that China's livestock industry is alive and well. There's more livestock. Their consumption of soybean meal is tremendous, and they basically know how to raise corn and wheat, but they're a little bit backward in some of their soybean yields, and, of course, that's the reason they're buying soybeans from the U.S. and South America at armloads at a time, boatloads at a time, so to speak. The other thing is that he thinks in the next 45 to 60 days the Soviet Union, the Russian wheat country will be sold out of wheat, And, of course, with dry weather in some of our key growing areas of the world, that should also give us some hope as well. But in the meantime, it's been a rough year for financial world, and you know, it shows. I mean, people are tired of hearing bad news, and believe it or not, we had a good close today in the Chicago futures market as well. It looks like going to be a comeback in the oil market, and also a good close in the stock market.
A short review tells me that that might have been on ideas that while there was some rainfall across Argentina and Brazil, that not enough, and it's not likely to materialize anymore.
Well, that's true. And then also we saw the outside markets get beat up. We saw the dollar quite strong. There's always worry about the dollar. And I would imagine there were some people, quite honestly, were long a few soybeans and wheat and corn yesterday, and they decided they better lighten the boat because no one knows just exactly how low it was going. We all were micro-analyzing the inaugural address, but there wasn't anything that did any damage there.
So what's your thought about the marketplace for the rest of this month?
Well, we continue to feel that the farmer is going to sell some $10 beans, spoon-feed the market there, and I think that that will continue. There will be a chance of good rains this weekend and then the following weekend in Argentina. The corn crop basically has been hurt there. The corn market, it's going to take a while to get demand back, and we hope that within the 100 days in the new Congress, we will see higher blend rates. The new administration will implement that. We hope that they also encourage, support to the ethanol industry, and that's a big start. But the trouble is, the former speaker basically said that every good ethanol meeting in Washington, there's a cowboy that has a few cows out there that always worries about if corn's going to go up a penny or two in price and tries to derail one of the greatest industries in the Midwest, and that's ethanol.
Hey, one other thing before I let you go. I see you're going to be on the road like I was today, but you're heading towards Pontiac tonight.
I'm going to drive the speed limit too, Todd. That's
well,
the only difference.
I drove the speed limit.
Okay.
I did not speed. That you and, Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming here at WILL, will be up there along with Jackie Vakes and Kurt Kimmel. They're winning an estate planning panel up there. That starts at the Elks Club in Pontiac tonight at 6:15.
We'll have a wonderful time, and we sure encourage everyone to be there.
All right. Thanks much. Any final word before I let you go?
It'll be an exciting year, and we hope agriculture also basically rebounds here and, gets back to normal economic growth.
All right. Thanks much, Paul.
Have a good one.
Mm-hmm, you too. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And Paul will be, by the way, at the Elks Club tonight in Pontiac. If you'd like to make that, at 6:15, there'll be an estate planning panel. You can join them. Bill Russell, a gift planning advisor with the U of I Foundation, will be there, along with Mike Morris. He's the chief appraiser at First Farm Credit in Bloomington, and Mary Christine Ludwig of Robert Dodd & Associates right here in Champaign. That's the estate planning panel. Starts at 6:15, a crop insurance update at 7 o'clock, and then a market outlook panel at 7:15. Paul Cooley, of course, will be on hand along with Jackie Vakes and Kurt Kimmel tonight at the Elks Club. It's open. It's free. If you want to drop by there, go ahead. Dave Dickey will be hosting that program this evening.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Speaking of Dave, he's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate confirmed former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack as USDA Secretary on Tuesday, a job he plans to use to promote renewable energy, including biofuels, and put healthier food in America's school meals. As Secretary Vilsack, 57 years old, will face two tasks immediately, working with Congress to renew USDA's child nutrition programs, which cost more than $15 billion a year and deciding whether to tighten USDA's eligibility rules for farm subsidies. President Barack Obama has backed a $250,000 a year hard cap on crop subsidies. The National Pork Producers Council says it is suing to challenge the Environmental Protection Agency's requirement that livestock farms inform communities about estimated emissions. The rule requires livestock producers to call state and local emergency response authorities to inform them of estimated emissions and to notify them in writing. Farms that fail to comply face penalties of up to $25,000 per day. The council said its lawsuit was filed after hours in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. A new poll of Wall Street economists suggests the U.S. economy will not recover from its deepest recession in more than a half century until 2010, and that it is highly dependent on government measures to boost spending and prop up banks. The economy is seen shrinking about 0.6% in 2009. The economy is likely to have contracted an annualized 5.3% in the fourth quarter of 2008, the worst performance since the early 1980s, and an even sharper decline than previously thought. And Pilgrim's Pride Corporation, one of the country's largest poultry producers, wants to sell its stake in a grain elevator business to joint venture partner Archer Daniels Midland Company. Pilgrim's Pride, which filed for Chapter 11 protection last month, is seeking court approval to sell its interest in the grain elevator business for $5 million. By selling the stake privately, the company will avoid the cost associated with a legal fight with ADM. Bankruptcy Judge D. Michael Lynn will hold a hearing on February 10th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In Springfield, Illinois, one of the largest farm auctions on record for the state is taking place at this hour. I was there this morning. Here's the final track as it was sold for the very first time.
$9,394. Look at the potential on this track. $9,300 bid. We're posting at $9,300, and the better number is $180. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now is the time. Now is the time. You start working with your ring man. You can put together any combination. Any bid is open on any track. If you'd like to raise an individual track, if you'd like to put combinations together, I'm looking up here, and we can actually put the combination together as an entirety for about $20,350,000. $20,350,000, it could go together as an entirety.
That's right. He said $20,350,000 for all 43 tracks in the farm sale for the Kilton Farms. They're located near Litchfield in about a 7-square-mile area. That last track, by the way, which sold for $9,400 or thereabouts this morning, the first time around, not sold and the gavel's not down on it yet, was one that could be developed and was much higher priced than the rest of the ground that sold the first time around. I think I saw the highest bid for normal farmland at about $6,200. Kiri Price is at the auction. At this hour, she works for Almond Auction, who is auctioning off the farms and joins us by phone. Good afternoon to you, Kiri.
Hi there.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good. Things are exciting, I'll bet, still there.
That they are. This is just amazing.
How many people do you have bidding today in Springfield?
Registered bidders, we have 211 registered, but in conclusion with everybody else is here. There's approximately 700 people here at our auction today.
Yeah, I was guessing 500 to 700 this morning, so there were a lot of folks in the room, and they were bidding pretty heavily this morning. Sold very quickly, but it was just kind of the first round of the sales. We were at 20,300,000 when I left at 11:44. Where are we at now?
We are looking at 22,407,000.
And the price when I left per acre was at 5,058. And do you have that current price?
It's about 5,059 right now.
All right, so it has moved up. Maybe I had that wrong. I was thinking 5,058, but it's pretty close in that same general area. And you're expecting?
Well, maybe I heard you wrong. It is at 5,587 now.
Ah, there you go. That's a 5,587. So it has gone up substantially. I was thinking there should have been quite a bit of difference between those two numbers. And then finally, how long do you think that this auction will last? What are the expectations? How late will it go this evening?
You know, we will be here until the gavel drops, as they always say. There is no estimate on time. It's just, you know, they're still heavily bidding right now, so we're just going, we're going strong.
Right, and do you know enough about how the way it's being sold to explain how it gets sold once and then sold a second time, or do you want me to go through that process?
I'll let you do that.
I will talk about it here in just a bit. I didn't know whether you'd know or not. Hey, the other thing, congratulations. I hear that you are engaged to Kent Allman of the Allman Auction Company out of Nokomis, and we should have some folks, I think, that are listening in that area, and so maybe they could say congratulations to you, too. Hey, Carrie, one other thing. Since your last name is Price, I think he should take your last name. That would be a much better last name for somebody with an auctioneering company.
I haven't quite had a chance to run that by him yet, but I'll be sure and let him know that you thought that would be more appropriate.
Well, I think it would be. You let him know. Thanks much.
All right. Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Oh, you too, and good luck there in Springfield.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye, Carrie.
Bye-bye.
Carrie Price is with the Allman Auction Company. They're in the midst of selling the Kilton Farms. They're located near Litchfield, Illinois. Some 3,912 acres were put up on auction today. Actually, they surveyed that amount, and it came out to, well, about 100 acres more than that, so more than 4,000 acres. If you're interested in seeing where those farms are and just what kind of land that is, you can do that at www.almanauctions.com. That's A-U-M-A-N-N auctions.com. Once again, the address is www.almanauctions.com. Speaking of places that you can visit on our web, visit on the web, you ought to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Elks Club in Pontiac, Illinois, for not just one, but two great panels. At 6:15, we'll delve into estate planning with Mary Christine Ludwig of Robert Dodd and Associates, and Mike Morris, Chief Appraiser of First Farm Credit, and Bill Russell, who is the Gift Planning Advisor for the University of Illinois Foundation. And then around 7 o'clock, we'll have a commodities panel with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. That's tonight at the Elks Club in Pontiac, Illinois. The meeting's beginning at 6:15. No advance registration is required for the meetings, and the meetings themselves are free. We hope to see you there.
And the meetings are just one of the many services here at the Closing Market Report. If you'd like to schedule one, just pick up our phone number, 217-333-0850, and ask for Dave Dickey. I'm Todd Gleason. We'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. University of Illinois President Joseph White says the university will do its best to avoid significant layoffs due to budget cuts. But in a mass email today, White says he cannot provide complete assurance that layoffs will be avoided, especially if the recession becomes a large one. The U of I is facing a potential $2.1 billion shortfall in the current fiscal year. White says measures like voluntary and mandatory furlough days cannot be ruled out. Tomorrow, a town hall meeting on the university's fiscal picture will be held 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Follinger Auditorium on the Urbana campus. AM 580 will carry that event live. Ameren says last week's frigid temperatures produced a record for natural gas usage. The utility says its customers have used 13% more natural gas in the past 30 days when compared to the same period a year ago. That includes a record peak demand during last Thursday's sub-zero weather of 13.6 million therms of gas. The Unit 4 School District and Champaign Police are teaming up for what officials call a multidisciplinary approach to gang activity. Police spokesperson Renee Dunn says some area youths have admitted to being involved in gangs following altercations in the community or at local schools. A group of community leaders has brought some of those students to meetings in the past few months, giving parents who suspect gang activity signs to look for. The Champaign Community and Police Partnership has been meeting since November. Another deadline looms for Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. The schedule for his impeachment trial calls for the governor to file a list of the people and documents he wants to subpoena for the trial by 4 p.m. today. But Blagojevich has been ignoring other deadlines. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us to talk about the agricultural weather forecast for the day is Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's first start with Brazil and Argentina. I think it's probably important to go through what's been happening there. There seems that there had been a little rainfall. They were dry, but apparently not enough.
That's right. In Argentina, the situation is still pretty grim in some areas of Buenos Aires and La Pampa and portions of Entre Rios. These are the areas that have been suffering for weeks on end and have absolutely no top or subsoil moisture right now. It is just really a bad situation. A lot of daily highs in the 80s and 90s, burning up some of these unirrigated crops pretty significantly. And the corn is going to be definitely reduced because of this, as well as some of the sunseed crop. The soybeans that are produced in the region are probably not as populous as they are in other places in Argentina, and that's probably good news for the crop. It won't be as seriously impacted by the ongoing dryness, but there has definitely been some losses in these other crops. And for a small part of the unirrigated soybean in that southern part of Argentina has also been adversely impacted. Now, we do have a rain event coming up for this weekend, and that rain event could end up being quite significant for some of these drier areas in Buenos Aires. Some of the computer models are suggesting 1 to 3 inches of rain may fall during the period Saturday and Sunday. My guess is it's probably not going to be quite that good. We'll still see some 1 to 2 inch amounts in at least localized areas, and they'll be the first opportunity to really bring some relief to the area.
And then if you take a look further out, I know you've done some studies and ideas about how well rainfall comes in certain months there. Do you think that they'll begin to have a better period of precipitation for pod filling and the final part of the crop maturation?
I think there is a chance that things will get a little bit better and go down the road. Some of the models are already trying to suggest that next week and in the first days of February, we might see a little more rain than what we've been seeing. But La Nina is the main reason for the drier bias, and La Nina is not going to change significantly over the next few weeks. So I think the bottom line is we're probably not going to see a major change take place in the overall scenario there for a while. We'll still see, we're going to still see below average precipitation for a while, but the odds are pretty good that we will not get normal rainfall. The amounts are probably going to be below average for quite some time yet to come. But you know as well as I do that here in the United States, when we have a problem with dryness, a lot of times it doesn't take a lot of rain. It's just the frequency of rain that's so important. So if we can manage to get some timely showers to occur over the next few weeks, the finishing of the crop may do better than what we've seen up to this point. And I think that's probably going to be the case. It's important, though, also to remember that the most important soybean-producing areas in Argentina are located in Cordoba and some of the neighboring states there, and they are not hurting like the rest of the country is. So the main soybean crop probably won't be as bad off as some of this unirrigated corn that I've mentioned here already.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and that is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.